The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Well, good morning all. It's lovely to be here and to share this morning with you as we build ourselves up in our faith. It's particularly important, I think, in times like this topsy-turvy, chaotic times, that we build ourselves up, that we have a strong heart. And so that's my theme today. I'm wanting to look a little bit at the heart and gain some insights into what the heart is, what its function is, what it does for us. As Donna shared in the children's talk, it is our most important stewardship. We're told in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, before everything else, we need to guard our hearts. And that means that basically it's more important than all of those other priorities, whether it's looking after our families, whether it's taking care of our business, whether it's serving in the church, whether it's building up our financial resources, taking care of our land if we're on the land. All of those things are important, but they all flow out of our hearts. And so it's critically important that we guard our heart above all things. So I thought today we could have a look at the heart and consider some insights about it. It's a little bit mysterious, the heart. It's certainly at the core of us, isn't it? It's somewhere central in our being. I wonder myself if it actually acts as a central hub that connects our soul and our spirit and our body. It may well be. Maybe the closest we can get to it is to say what the heart is like. And so I have a few suggestions about what the heart is like today. The first is that the heart is like the source of a spring. We're told in Proverbs 4:23 in the older NIV version that it is the wellspring of life. All of life flows out of the heart. And I ask myself, well, what do we actually want from a stream or a spring? I think there's two main things. We want that spring to be flowing. We want there to be a life flow that flows out of our heart and affects the atmosphere around us. We want everything we touch to be affected by that life. We want our words to have life in them. We want everything to flow out of us. You can't get much out of a dry spring, can you? So we want a nice flowing spring. Secondly, we need that flow to be pure. That is, who wants to drink from a polluted spring? So I think guarding the heart essentially is making sure that it's flowing, that there's a life that's flowing out of us, and that that life is pure, that the water flowing from us is pure and healthy. So the heart is like a spring. It's also like a store of treasure, a treasure storehouse, as Donna shared. A few verses here, one from Matthew. Jesus said that where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So there's a close link, isn't there, between our heart and what we treasure. And talking of Mary in Luke 2, around the time of the birth of Jesus and all the wonderful things that were happening, it says Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So God has given us a place for storing treasure, warm memories and kindnesses we've been shown, just as Donna shared. We might, for example, be feeling nervous or insecure or afraid. And a Christian friend gives us a word from the Lord telling us not to be afraid, that God is going to take care of us. He's going to watch over us and protect us and carry us through the challenging times ahead. We can store that in our heart. That strengthens our heart for the journey ahead, for the unknown journey ahead. I don't know about you, but I found that my mind is actually not a great storehouse for treasure. Because if I put a word like that in my mind, it's analytical, it questions, it raises doubts. It says to me, David, is God really going to protect you from all dangers? What about this other Christian whom this happened to? If that happens to them, why not you? So my heart starts to devalue the treasure, really, my mind starts to devalue the treasure, but I can store it in my heart. And there it stays safe, and the life of that word flows out of me and affects everything that I do. Now, what is the greatest treasure that our heart holds? I believe it is told to us in Romans 5, verse 5, that is, that the greatest treasure we hold is God's love. God's poured his love into our hearts, and we all have that love, and we want the flow of life to flow out of our hearts so that that love affects all of those around us. Now, of course, in this process, we're a little passive, aren't we? God is the one actively pouring into our hearts. We are passive. We're the receiver of that love. But just as Donna shared, we also have to be active in what we store in our own hearts. And so, for instance, we certainly do need to be storing God's word in our hearts. In Proverbs 119, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart, not just in my mind. I don't just memorize it, but I meditate on it. I chew over it. I trust in it. I stand on it. And on some occasions, I just receive it and am blessed by it. For example, when we're going through a hard time, we're struggling with our emotions, we read a psalm where the psalmist is expressing the same things that we're feeling. We can treasure that in our heart. It strengthens our heart for the journey ahead. Our second verse there in Proverbs 4, 20 and 21 is similar. It tells us that we need to listen to God's word. It says there, don't let those words out of your sight, but store them in your heart. Now, in this verse, I think there's an important insight into the heart, and one which I didn't really understand very well before I started preparing for this message. And I think we can strengthen our hearts by gaining further understanding about it. And the hint of that is in the part that says, don't let God's word out of your sight. Notice, in order to keep his word in our sight, we need to store it in our heart. It's actually telling us that one of the core functions of our heart is visual. Our heart has a capacity to see. And we can gain insight into that, or we can reinforce that idea by looking at the usage of the word heart in the scriptures, especially first usage, because there's a rule or a law of scriptural interpretation that says, if you want to know something fundamental about a word, find the first time it's expressed in scripture and you'll learn a truth about that word. So let's have a look at the word heart, first of all, in the Old Testament. Now there the word is lev, L-E-V. I think that might be where the English word love is derived from. So the first time the heart is used in scripture, it's actually a little bit sad. It's kind of negative because mankind has become corrupted. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. That's a pretty sad state, isn't it, that mankind fell into. God created the heart for good, but it's become corrupted. But notice that word imagination of the thoughts of the heart there. That brings to mind thought pictures or inner vision. So there's definitely something visual about the heart, and we learn that in the first usage. Now, the heart not only is visual in terms of inner vision, but it's affected, or our vision is affected by what we're taking in from the outside. So what's coming through our eyes, what's coming through our ears. And Jesus refers to that and warns us about that in Matthew 5, 28. He talks about the danger of looking at a woman lustfully because that creates adultery in our heart, that place of intent. Now, this scripture is coming from the New Testament, and here the word being used is cardia. We are all familiar, for example, with cardio or cardiologist. Well, this is a Greek word, cardia. Now, thankfully, this is not the first usage of heart in the New Testament. The first usage is a positive one. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, it says, because they will see God. Notice again the visual reference. So, maybe you've often said to yourself, or sometimes said to yourself, if only I could see God, it would be so much easier to have faith. Well, God has given you and I the capacity, because that's what our heart has the capacity to do. It has the capacity to see beyond the natural, to see beyond what our eyes can see or what our minds can perceive. The heart can see more. It can see God. And Paul takes this idea a little bit further in Ephesians 1:18. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart are enlightened. Notice Paul tells us our heart has eyes. It is essentially visual in its function. And Paul goes on to say that when your eyes are enlightened, you'll have a knowledge about the hope that you have and the glorious and wonderful inheritance you have as God's holy people. I think he's telling us that when our eyes are enlightened, we'll see much more. And in fact, this passage or this paragraph goes on to say and talk about Christ risen and glorified, seated at God's right hand, seated in a place of authority, seated in a place of power. And I think Paul is saying when your eyes are enlightened, when your heart has light, you'll see Christ risen, you'll see him glorified, and you'll see yourself with him because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And so God has given our hearts a special capacity. Now, I know it's a little bit deep and a little bit hard to understand, and so I'll give you my take on it. Now, this is not scripture, this is not the Bible, this is just my understanding, but when I think of the mind and the senses, I think essentially that they're all about understanding reality. What's the reality of the world around us? Can we analyze it? Can we make sense of it? Can we break everything down into its subcomponents and figure out how everything works? The mind is, and the senses are all about what is the reality. But the heart has a different capacity, and I believe it's actually a higher capacity. The heart has a preeminent role in our lives. Because, of course, our heart has the capacity to see things that our eyes do not see. In fact, our heart can go beyond what is to that realm of what is not. Remember, God calls what is not as though it is. That's one of the things that God does, and our heart has the capacity to pick up on that. And essentially, I'm talking here about faith pictures, that one of the ways that God communicates with us, and I think the primary way, is through the heart and through faith pictures. It's not normally through the mind. God doesn't normally give us all the answers. Now, of course, all the answers is what we want. We think when we know everything, life will be so much better. But the truth is, that's not really how life works. Life is a walk of faith. And God ministers to us through faith pictures that strengthen our heart for the journey ahead. There are many examples of that, of course, in the scripture. I've got two brief ones to share with you this morning. The first is the patriarch Joseph. Now, Joseph was the son, the favorite son, wasn't he, of Jacob. And he had an elevated position in the family, but that didn't last for all that long. His life took a sudden downturn when his brothers sold him into slavery in Egypt. So he hit rock bottom at that point, or at least he thought he hit rock bottom. But of course, he had even further to go, didn't he? He was unjustly accused, thrown into a dungeon, a place of darkness, of cold, and of desperation. How did Joseph's heart sustain him through that time? Well, I believe in all the darkness, he had a light in his heart. And that was a faith picture that God had given him as a young man. Remember, Joseph had dreams, visual dreams, that told Joseph that God had a purpose, a destiny for him, a place of rulership, a place of preeminence over not only his own family, but in God's kingdom and in his purposes. And so that strengthened Joseph's heart and gave him the faith and the strength that he needed to endure such a dark place. My second example is Abraham. Now, Abraham, you might remember, God promised him offspring, and God promised him an inheritance. And God spoke to him one night in a vision, and Abraham said to the Lord, "But Lord, I'm an old man, and my wife is old, and we have no children. My heir is actually my favorite servant." Now, at this point, God could have pulled Abraham aside and appealed to his understanding. He could have said to Abraham, "Well, look, Abraham, here's the plan. I'm going to give you a son, and that son is going to have children, and those children are going to have children, and let's do the math. In this case, it's probably exponential math, and 10 generations, 20 generations, 30 generations into the future, let's do the math and see how many offspring you'll have. It's all logical. I can lay it out before you." That's not what God did, is it? God said to Abraham, "Abraham, come outside." It was nighttime. And he said to Abraham, "Abraham, look up at the stars above you. Aren't they beautiful? And aren't they just beyond number? You can't count them. In the same way, that's how your offspring are going to be. Perhaps shining like the stars, but certainly innumerable, beyond counting." So God was giving Abraham a faith picture, something that he could store within his heart and carry with him on the journey ahead. Whenever he was doubting, whenever he was unsure or insecure, all Abraham had to do essentially was look up and be reminded of God's promise and of God's faithfulness. And so faith pictures are incredibly important. And they're incredibly important, I believe, for us to receive also and use in ministry. You know, one of the things that we've been doing recently in our life groups is sharing faith pictures with one another, sharing scriptures and things that we see in the other person. And it's been incredibly encouraging. In fact, one thing we do when someone has a birthday, Sandra sends around a little text and she says to everyone, "Okay, this person's having a birthday and I want you to spend some time with the Lord, listen to him and come back with a scripture, a verse, a picture, an encouragement that we can share. So on that night, we all share what we've heard. And it's actually wonderful to see the encouraging words that people share, the things that they've been able to see beyond that which their eyes can see or even their minds can necessarily perceive. And these are not just things we're conjuring up in our imaginations. It really is the Lord speaking to our hearts. And we had evidence of that on Wednesday. This Wednesday being, we had a member of our group have a birthday. And Sandra, as per normal, she sent around the text saying, please pray for this person. And she reminded me during the day. And so I spent a little time in prayer. Initially, I didn't really have anything, but by the time I finished praying, some thoughts had started to come into my mind. I had a picture of this person and a picture of God's love for them. And some thoughts started to flow. And then a scripture came to me. And it all started to come together. And I was really happy about this because now I had something that I could share to really build this person up. So it's life group time. And Sandra says, okay, it's time now to share. I'll start. So Sandra begins by telling a scripture, which is the same scripture that I'd chosen. Then one by one, she goes through a series of thoughts, each one pretty much exactly what I had been planning to say. I felt a little bit ripped off actually at that time, but I guess God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? But wouldn't that be a wonderful encouragement to the person receiving the message? Confirmation that this is not just people trying to encourage that person, but it was evidence of how much God loves them, and not only that, how much he wants them to know that he loves them and to confirm that word to their heart. So it's just a wonderful ministry. It's not just for leaders, it's not just for pastors, but it's for each one of us. Effectively, all we need is a heart. And I think God is waiting for us to ask him. He's got so much blessing to pour forth on his people. He's just waiting for us to ask him for faith pictures so that we can share them and build one another up. And as I mentioned, sometimes it is just seeing beyond the natural, but it can move into that realm of what is not also. And I know we're short on time, but I'll just give you one quick story from my life, evidence of God working in that realm of what is not. So some years ago now, I don't know how many, I was in a life group. It was a new life group, fledgling. It was being led by a young couple. They were about the same age as me, and their children were similar to mine, maybe, let's say, 10 and 11, 11 and 12. And we were friends. And our life group was doing okay, but it did have some teething problems. And I had a bit of a heaviness of heart about this, and I sensed it was also because the couple were going through some issues. It wasn't a secret they had shared with me. They weren't necessarily seeing eye to eye as well as they could. They weren't walking in step as well as they could. They weren't partnering as effectively as they could. And I was heavy in heart about this. And so I said to the Lord, Father, I just want to spend some time in prayer. Now, it was actually winter, so I ran a warm bath and I soaked in it and I relaxed and I started to pray. And as I prayed, I became aware of God's peace. And as I felt God's peace, I saw a picture in my mind's eye. Not a huge vision, but just a picture. And it was of this couple. I saw them from behind walking, and between them there was a little child. And the little child was reaching up, holding onto both hands really tightly, and they were walking with small steps, and the little child was walking in step, walking in agreement, depending equally on both parents to uphold them. And I thought, well, that's a lovely picture. I'm not so sure about it. So I shared it with a Christian friend, and asked, you know, do you believe this is something that I could share openly? And they gave me the green light. They said, yeah, that sounds like something from the Lord. So next life group, I shared this with the emphasis on partnering and agreeing together. But in this case, the wife hearing this, I don't think she heard very much past little child. So she looked rather shocked and said to me, David, are you saying that we're going to have another baby? Because they certainly weren't planning on children. They had, you know, as I said, their children were about 11 and 12 at the time. Now, if I'd been listening to Geordie's message last week, I would have said, well, no, I think I can't really say anything more than the vision I've been given, because in truth, that's all I saw. I hadn't listened to Geordie's message, and so I thought I'd better give the Lord a little hand here. I'd better step in and try and come up with an explanation. And so I did. I said, well, no, I think it's figurative. I don't think it's a real child. I think it's maybe figurative of our life group. We're a young life group, and we're depending on you, and we need you guys to be in agreement and to work together, to walk together. And they accepted that, and we all forgot about it, well, at least for about 6 months. 6 months later, of course, and I guess you know what's coming, the couple find that they're expecting. They were so shocked. They certainly weren't planning it, and I think maybe they had even thought they were a little bit past that. And of course, I was shocked too. Definitely, God has a sense of humour, doesn't he? Long story short, though, in the years that have followed, I've watched their marriage grow stronger. I've watched their partnership grow stronger. I've watched them walk together in agreement. And I've watched this little child grow up, grow healthy and strong and win awards. I don't see them so much these days, but I still follow them on Facebook. And it's just been wonderful to see a great confirmation of God's word to me. And about 4 or 5 years after this happened, God gave me an extra little blessing. I was just shopping. I went to Grand Central. I parked downstairs on the ground floor outside of Meijer. And just as I pulled up, I saw a couple walking into Meijer. It was this family, father, mother, and the little child reaching up, holding both hands. I saw them from behind, just like in the vision. And it was just a wonderful confirmation that God had spoken that word to me about that which was not before it actually came to pass. And I was able to use that word to bless them and to strengthen their hearts and their marriage. Now, I have to say, it wasn't exactly like the vision I saw. In my vision, the child was smaller, and they were walking somewhere attractive like a park or the beach. It wasn't certainly into Meijer. But all the essential elements of that vision or that faith picture were there. So I believe it's an incredibly important function of our hearts that we do need to use. And as we use that function, that ministry, it not only blesses others, but it increases the flow of life in our own hearts. And I know that that's a blessing and a strengthening to my own heart. I've experienced even a physical healing on one occasion when God was giving me some inner pictures that I was sharing with him. I don't have time to tell that story, but I had an acute illness at the time and some stress also. And as I shared with God the pictures he was giving me, comforting pictures, I actually experienced a healing. And what that tells me, and I think in hindsight what I realize, is that back then it wasn't just a physical problem. I actually had a heart problem. I was a new Christian and I had no concept of God's love for me. I just knew that Christian life was a lot of expectations and that I couldn't live up to them. I had a heart problem and it was spilling over into other parts of my life. And actually the act of visioning and drawing near to God actually brought about not only a healing to my heart, but a healing to my physical illness as well. I do wonder how many of us struggle with physical sickness or stress or anxiety or depression, and maybe we get help for those things. We see a doctor, we may get medication, but it never quite gets to the heart of the problem. And I believe that's because it is the heart where the underlying problem lies. Maybe that is helpful to someone today. But certainly, I think what we've seen this morning is how important our hearts are and how much we need to be aware of our heart and aware of that function, for example, of faith pictures. And so we need to guard our hearts. Hopefully, as I've been sharing, you've got some ideas already. You've had some thoughts and you've already got some ideas. We have to be careful what we treasure, don't we? What we store in here, just as Donna said. We've got to be careful what we're taking in from the outside, what we're listening to, what we're seeing, even just the news. If we're glued to the news every day, we're going to get a lot of negativity in our hearts, aren't we? We certainly need to store God's word in our hearts so that the life of the word flows out of us. And we need to exercise vision. I think the more we exercise vision, that's not only going to bless our own heart, but of course, it's going to tremendously bless others. But I think a principal way to guard our heart is explained to us in Philippians 4. In Philippians 4, it says, don't be anxious about anything. 4, 6 and 7. Don't go around with weights on your shoulders that you're not meant to carry. But lift those weights off and hand them over to God. Tell him your problems. Tell him your concerns. Thank him for listening and for his care. And we're told if we do that, his peace, which is beyond our understanding, it's not coming through our mind. He's not giving us all the answers. It's coming through our heart. He's strengthening our heart, and that's also blessing our mind. and it's guarding our mind and it's guarding our heart. One easy way to remember it, I think, is to remember that Proverbs 4 says, guard your heart, and Philippians 4 says, this is how you guard your heart. It's principally through the peace of Christ. Now, what if we're feeling stressed and anxious? We don't feel God's peace. Does that mean it's not there? I don't think so. I think that all of us as believers have God's peace in our hearts. And Jesus said to us before he left the earth, he said, I'm going to give you a precious gift. I'm giving you my peace. And I'm not giving it to you as the world gives. This is not a false promise, or I'm not just trying to cheer you up. I'm giving you something tangible, something real that's going to guard your heart and carry you through the difficult journeys of life ahead. So don't be troubled. Don't let troubles and anxieties come in and suppress that peace. But if we're not feeling peace today, maybe we've lost that peace. Maybe we had it once and maybe God's taken it away. Maybe it's disappeared. Well, again, I don't think that's true, because in Isaiah 54, looking forward to the time of the new covenant, the Lord says, although there's an awful lot of moving and shaking going on in the world, and of course we're experiencing that today, aren't we? He says, despite all that, my unfailing love will never be shaken, and the covenant of peace, that peace that Jesus promised to give you before he even left the earth, I will never take that away. It will never be removed. It's a permanent gift for you. So then, why don't we always feel that peace? Well, I think it is because we allow other things to have authority in our heart, things that shouldn't be having authority. Fears, cares, worries, they come in, they suppress the peace of Christ. And although it's in our hearts, it's not being effective. And so Paul tells us we have a choice. We have a choice about what we allow to rule in our hearts. And he's saying to us, we need to allow Christ's peace to have that ruling authority. It needs to have authority. And as we give the peace of Christ authority, then it will guard our hearts. It will produce health and strength and life and vitality. It will promote the flow of life out of us and the purity of that life also. So we need to guard our hearts, don't we? And we need to invite the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. I realize now I'm out of time, so how about we finish with a quick word of prayer, and we'll ask the Lord to help us to allow that peace of Christ to rule in our hearts. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing thing called the heart that you've put inside of us. And all of us have a new heart. We're told in Ezekiel 36, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Help us therefore, Lord, to guard the heart that you've given us, to be really careful what we treasure, what we store in there, what we listen to. Help us, Lord, to exercise vision, to ask you for faith pictures. And Lord, may we give permission to the peace of Christ to rule. We say by faith to all those other things that think that they have authority, that have usurped the authority of that peace. We say you no longer have authority to rule in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, we give that authority to the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts, to bring health and strength and vitality to our hearts. To those of us who are struggling with a damaged heart or a bruised heart, we give the authority of that peace to bind up our broken hearts. To those who are struggling and feeling trapped, we give authority to that peace to set our captive hearts free. And we ask all of these things in the wonderful, glorious name of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.